be Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
First song this evening is 730.
Know me so, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And temptations, is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Sorrow share. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care. Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Now be led in opening prayer.
Father, thank you for this time we have to come and study your word, to sing praises to you in song. Please help us to put aside the cares of this world, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Please be with those who are struggling with sickness. Please watch over the doctors who will be helping Mike Murphy tomorrow, and pray the surgery would go well, if it be your will. Father, please be with those who watch over us and keep us safe, both here and abroad. Please be with the leaders of our country and help them to make decisions that are in keeping with your will. Please help us live our lives in accordance to your word. Please open doors for us to spread the gospel. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Let's now turn to John 15, 1 to 8. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it'll bear even more fruit. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, then you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you don't remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. This to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves as my disciples.
I'll read from James chapter 1, beginning in verse 22 through 25. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he was looked at himself and gone away, he was immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of the liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man would be blessed in what he does.
I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to love and trust His holy word. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker every day. I want to lead the erring in the way that leads to heaven above, where all is peace and love in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker strong and brave. I want to trust in Jesus' power to save. All who will truly come shall find a happy home in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord.
Number 979 in the songbook, The Longer I Serve Him.
And oh, so since I started for the kingdom, since my life He controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer
Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works.
I will be reading from Romans 1, 18 through 20. Romans 1, 18 through 20. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what God has been made, so that men are without excuse.
Number 908, 908, Awesome God.
No. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom.
Please stand as we sing this song.
Oh, For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he would offer himself often, as the high priest enters the holy place year by year, with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now once, at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And in so much as it is appointed of men to die once, and after this comes the judgment. So Christ also, after having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation, without reference to sin, to those who eagerly await him.
Next song will be the only one that is not in our book. It's going to be Alleluia.
No song, Alleluia.
If you're following along in the books and would like to mark your songbooks for the song following the invitation, that will be number 717. We'll sing 717 after Scott's remarks are concluded. Before that, though, we will sing number 977, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." If you're able to and would like to, I'd ask you to stand for the singing of this one.
As we sing this, I would like to sing the verses softer, and as we get to the chorus, sing with full volume.
I want to thank those that came up and led us in song and read the verses that we just sang. If you'd open your Bibles to Colossians, the first chapter, is where we began this evening. We sing songs about the battle belongs to the Lord. We sing songs about how if our enemies are there, don't fear. If we're going through difficulties, have courage. We sing what a friend we have in Jesus, again, about the fact that he answers our prayers, that he's willing to take on our burdens and difficulties. And how often we still hold him. We keep him. How often that there are people that know full well what you need to do with your relationship with him and don't. Colossians, the first chapter, we read a few of these verses, but verse 13, I just want you to think about from our perspective, what he did for you. For he delivered us, he delivered you from the domain of darkness and transferred you, or us, to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we, you, have a redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Make this personal. You are in darkness. He transferred you to his kingdom so that you can have redemption, the forgiveness of your sins, that you can have salvation. He wants to be your friend, as we sang, for you. We looked in John, the 15th chapter, about the fact that we can prove to be his disciple. I was talking to somebody the other day about the word abiding and how often you see that when John's writing. And John 15 is another one of those places. You have to abide in him. Are we abiding in him? We sing songs like, I want to be a worker. For some of us, maybe we should sing, I have to be a worker for the Lord. Or do I have to be a worker? I want to be a worker. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. When I was younger, I didn't really like that song much. Didn't understand it. The longer I serve him, though, the more I understand that song. It's interesting, our relationship with him. And how we actually do this because he loves us and we love him and have the opportunity to serve him. Over in Titus, the second chapter, I'm going to look at a couple of passages here in Titus, but this is such an interesting thing to me. And I think this lays out or illustrates at least hopefully the point I was trying to get across tonight. Titus 2, beginning in verse 11, says, "For the grace of God has been appeared, bringing salvation to all men. instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope at the appearing and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us for every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. Is that you? Are we really a people that are zealous for good deeds? I want to be a worker. I want to live for him. I want to be his child. I know he is an awesome God. I know he's alive. And I'm going to live for him. That he sent his son to die for you. It's interesting in the book of Titus how often he'll talk about good deeds, good works. Early on in the book, in chapter 1 and verse 16, talking about the opposite, those that are false, he says, they profess to know God, but their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. Kind of the choice that you and I have. Are we zealous for good deeds? Or do our actions show that we just deny him? We don't live for him. He goes on in chapter 3, verse 8, and says, this is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God may be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. You skip down to verse 14. He says, and let our people also learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs, that they may not be unfruitful. There are certainly things that we have to do or should want to do. But we need to understand the fact that it all is his battle. He is there to help us through all things. So you offer the invitation, you look at Titus, the third chapter, beginning in verse 4, he says, but when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Amazing words. Because of his kindness, because of his mercy, as he talks about here, because of the fact he was willing to pour out upon us richly his Spirit through Christ Jesus, you and I have the opportunity for salvation, found only in Christ. We're going to sing the song, Victory in Jesus. It's another one of those songs that when you sing, for many of us, it is such a comforting verse, comforting song. There's great victory in them. For others, we sing the song knowing that there's great victory in them, and they're not in him. It doesn't make any sense. In Hebrews, the 9th chapter, the verses that were read to us, it talks about what Jesus was willing to do for you. He didn't just go into the temple. He just didn't go in the holy place that was made with hands as a mere copy, it says. Think about what he does for you. He now appears in the presence of God for who? What's it say? You can turn there. Hebrews, the 9th chapter, in verse 24. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but entered heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Us. It's for us. Verse 27, he continues, and inasmuch as it appeared appointed for men to die once, and after this comes the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly wait him. Do you eagerly await him? You have the opportunity to have victory. That is your absolute choice. That's your choice. You have the opportunity for salvation. You have the opportunity to have a friend, in essence, with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was willing to die for you, to give you the opportunity. He is in the presence of the Almighty God for you and for me. to give us the opportunity for salvation? Are you zealous for good works? Are you his people? If you're not, now's the time. Don't wait. You know, there's a lot of people, it takes a difference between those that eagerly wait him, those who are zealous for good works, and those people that just go through the motions. We got to determine and figure out where we are. Do you eagerly await him? Are you zealous for good works? Is that zeal with knowledge? All the different aspects that the scriptures talk about. Are you growing in him? If you're not, let us help you. As we always say, pray for one another. We're all in this together. Certainly there are difficulties that come up. Help one another. Encourage one another. But if you have not obeyed the gospel, there is no bigger pressing need that you have. That's it. That is as big as it gets. And the scary part is that there's people that don't see that. That's how scary that is. But if you do, and you know it's something that you need to take care of now, do not wait. Let us help you. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for you, that the sins that you've committed put him on the cross, that he chose to die for you, and you understand you need to repent of those sins, confess him as the Son of God that he is, not just in word in front of a congregation or in front of people, but in your actions. You're going to live for him. Be buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins. You're going to subject yourself to him to be redeemed, be sanctified, justified, to be his child. Now's the time. Do not leave here if you have questions. Do not leave here if you're not confident. Let us help you. If that's right now, I ask you to please come as we stand and sing.
I heard an all.